This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear witness that none has the right of worship besides Allah, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Lord of the Universe. We send our love, our greetings and salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to all the Anbiya, to their families and their pious disciples and Sahaba until the end of time, and those who follow them in goodness until the end of time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us at this time of Jumu'ah. May Allah forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings. May Allah bless us at the beginning of a new year. May this year be a blessed year for us, for those who are going to school, starting school, those who are finishing school, those who are going to varsity. May Allah protect them, may Allah guide them, may Allah guide us all. Ameen walhamdulillah. As you know, firstly, welcome back. A lot of you are, I know you're not happy to see me, because if you see, you're back at the mosque, then you are back from your holiday and you're back at work. So I hope you had a good holiday, walhamdulillah. And I hope it's the depression of being back to work is not too heavy on all of you. But alhamdulillah, it's good to see you. Now, as we know, yesterday or a few, I think Wednesday it was, the results for the matriculants came out. Right, alhamdulillah. And by and large, it appears that it was a good, a good success for our matriculants. And it's a reminder for us. This is also the start of the academic year. It's a reminder about the importance of knowledge and the power of knowledge in our deen. This is one of the fundamentals of what it means to be a Muslim. The power and the importance of knowledge. And it's of the first lessons we learned as a creation. Because remember, when Allah said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, Allah said to the angels, Jibreel, Mikael, all of them, Allah said to them, I intend placing on earth my Khalifa, my representative. And the angel said, Subhanallah, Ya Allah, why would you place a creation on the earth who will cause mischief and they will shed blood and they are such, they're going to be a bad creation. Well, we are worshipping you continuously. Why do you need to create them? So Allah said to them, to the angels, I know something of this creation that you don't know. That this creation, with all the deficiencies, humanity, with all its bad, with all its weakness, with all its wrongs, there is something very special about them. And to prove this, to show the superiority of Adam, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a test. He gave the angels a test, which they could not pass. And then Allah taught Nabi Adam, our father Adam, the answers, or the keys, or whatever it might be, Allah taught him, which the angels could not comprehend. And then Allah asked Nabi Adam, our father, explain to the angels what these are. And Nabi Adam, when he explained it, that's when Allah said to the angels, so make sujood to Adam. Now what we learn from this, Nabi Adam alayhi salam is made from dirt, from mud. We are made from mud. The angels are made from light. The jinn from fire. Iblis was not wrong when he said, I am superior to him, I am made from fire. He was not wrong in that. We are physically lesser than them. But what elevated Nabi Adam above all of creation. Now remember, if Jibreel is making sujood to Nabi Adam, that means all of creation is beneath Nabi Adam. Now what made him special? Wasn't the color of his skin? Wasn't his form, his body? It was the knowledge that he had possessed. And this principle Allah teaches us, that the one who learns and has knowledge, he's elevated in the creation. That the highest of creation in the sight of Allah is the ones who possess the most knowledge. And this is true even in the world. The person, the top achiever, the school that does the best, the country with the most books and libraries will always be the most successful. So it is a principle, a law with Allah, that knowledge will bring success. Knowledge will bring izzah and grandeur. It is, as we know as Muslims, the very first command of this Quran that was revealed was Iqra. The first command Allah had given us as an ummah, first revelation, wasn't even worship me. We know the fundamental of Islam is to worship Allah alone, that there's one God and we worship Him alone. That's what Islam is all about. Allah did not say to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, worship me or make sujood to me. He first said, read. Why? Because faith, we don't have blind faith. It must be informed. It must be based on sound knowledge. It must be an educated understanding. Also, this Quran came to a society that was horrible. backward, immoral. It was the worst of the worst. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you want to fix yourself and you want to fix your society, it starts with reading. Reading will transform you. Reading will change you. We were speaking at work, we said it's amazing that the same matriculant that is 18, doesn't have a care in the world, doesn't have any responsibility, within 5 years of training, that child will grow up to be, 5 years they'll become a doctor, they will save lives. Imagine how knowledge transforms you, how knowledge, you know, changes you. And those same Sahaba who were killing their own children, within a few years of reading, of learning, of understanding, they became the greatest and most pious of people. So Allah reminds you and me that if you want success in this world and the next, He says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that the first thing, Allah will raise up people of faith. That if you have faith, it's the most important thing. مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ دَرَجَاتِ. He will raise you up in levels. You want a promotion in your job? It is the one that has the most knowledge that will excel. You want to succeed in life, in this world and the next? The more knowledge you acquire, that's how you raise up your rank. It's a law with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says to us, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that it is only the ulama. Now, ulama, yeah, doesn't mean the maulana, the mufti, you must be a member of the MJC. Ulama means people of knowledge. They are the ones that are truly conscious of Allah. You cannot be truly conscious of the Creator unless you have some form of knowledge. Doesn't mean knowledge in terms of PhDs and all of that. But you must have a consciousness in your mind, a desire to learn more and more about your Creator. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, truly, the more knowledge you have, and it's not, and I must say here, we don't have a concept of religious knowledge and secular knowledge. The knowledge of science, the knowledge of space, of medicine, all of this is from the same one who brought the Quran. And the more you learn science, technology, the more you look into this, into deep into space, or deep into the ocean, or the smallest of creations, you will realize, surely someone who has a master plan, put this here. It will lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sheikh said, I advise my students, don't watch ITV, rather watch Discovery Channel. You'll see, your iman will grow more when you watch Discovery Channel and National Geographic, when you see the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show you the power in the sight of Allah. We, in the dunya, we measure success by the car you drive, the suburb your house is in, the clothes you wear. Now Allah tells us the story of Nabi Samuel. He's not mentioned by name in the Quran, but his story is mentioned. Allah says, remember when the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, said to Nabi Samuel, we need a king. Ask Allah to choose a king from amongst us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to them that I have selected Talut, Saul, as the king. Now Saul, Buta Talut, wasn't a very prestigious guy. He wasn't the richest, he wasn't a fancy guy. And so the people of Bani Israel said, how can he be our king? He was not given a lot of money. He doesn't have any money. How can he be the king? How can you make this man the king? So Allah says, "Inna Allah astafahu." Allah chosen him, and Allah made him special. Alaykum above you, wazadahu bastatan fil ilmi wal jism. And we gave him a lot of knowledge and stature. So he was a person of knowledge, and therefore Allah said, "He is the most befitting to be king." And similarly, it should be the one who is the most learned, the most knowledgeable, who should be the one who is the president, the king. The person with the most wisdom and knowledge. This is really the criteria. And subhanAllah, if only, ya Allah. May that be the case. Ameen. From the Sahaba, from the Prophet ﷺ, so from the Quran, it shows you what Allah values in this earth. He values what's in the heart and what's in the mind, not the outside. The person who is sincere in his heart, and the person who has knowledge, this is someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises up in the sight of Allah. And I said this many, many times, and it's something to ponder about. Blessings Allah gives for free. Allah gives you wealth for free. He gives you your health. We don't make dua, ya Allah, every day. Give me good health. Only when we're sick do we make dua for health, yes? Our rizq, we get it. We only make dua for rizq when we don't have something. But Allah has given all of this free of charge. Our sight, our hearing. But knowledge, He will never ever give for free. You cannot be born except that you are born with zero, empty. You can be born a billionaire. You can be born a king even. Allah gives this for free because it's not valuable to Him. But knowledge, He guards it very, very preciously. If you want anything of knowledge, you need to work hard for it. The Prophet ﷺ says, he who treads a path in search of knowledge, he didn't say Quranic knowledge or Sharia knowledge, any knowledge. So even the student who's at the university, the student who's in the school, our sub-A's or even below that, and they're studying to learn for the betterment of themselves and the community. Whoever treads a path in search of knowledge, then Allah will make easy for him the path to Jannah. So long as you are learning, and he didn't say whoever finishes the course, you get to Jannah at the end. So long as you're continuously learning. If learning is part of your life, then the path to Jannah will be made easy. Why? The more you learn, the more your mind expands, the more you'll recognize the truth. The more knowledge will lead you to Allah. So if you want to get to Jannah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you want to get to paradise, make learning part of your life. And look at this, subhanAllah. Whenever the student walks in the road, the Prophet says, the angels lower down their wings for the student of knowledge. Out of approval, out of humility for him, the angels salute the person, the student. The kids, when they go to school, when they come to school in the taxi, the angels are lowering their wings for them. All of the creations, the creatures in the heavens and the earth, even the creatures in the sea, will pray for the person, forgiveness for the scholar, for the one who is learning. And the Prophet ﷺ says, if Allah desires good for you, He'll bestow you an understanding of the deen. Yeah, special knowledge is religious knowledge. That He'll give you fiqh, deep understanding of the deen. If you were given that, you were given a great blessing from Allah. When we imagine getting to Jannah, we imagine a wali of the awliya of Allah. He's constantly in tahajjud, mashallah, fantastic. He's fasting. He's in the masjid 5 times a day. But the Prophet ﷺ says, if you compare the alim to the abid, the man who learns and writes and teaches, compared to just the worshipper, then he says, the superiority of the alim, the scholar, over the abid, the worshipper, is like that of the full moon versus the stars. Both are bright, the star is beautiful, but the moon is far bigger at night. When the moon is there, you don't see the stars anymore. Because the alim, he does not, while he learns, he's in ibadah, he's worshipping Allah. And his worship benefits others as well. Like the moon, it illuminates everyone else. This is of the highest form of worship, is to sit with a book and to read and to learn. And the Prophet continues and he says, indeed, the ulama, the scholars, are the inheritors of the anbiya. The anbiya, the prophets of Allah, they came only to deliver knowledge. Their job was to teach. That was their job. And so anyone who follows them is actually inheriting from the anbiya, because the anbiya did not leave any money behind. They left knowledge as their inheritance. So whoever wants to inherit from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then take from his knowledge. By this we should learn the importance of knowledge in our sharia. That this, our deen, has always been a deen of learning. Our success as an ummah, and we know that Islam at one point in time was the leading civilization in the world. We were in Spain for 800 years, the best universities in Europe was in Spain. For the longest of times, the kings of Europe would send their children to Andalusia to learn. Now it's the opposite, we send our kids to Western countries to learn. What made us excel from being desert people to people that led the world in science and technology was learning and knowledge. And the more we learn from our deen, the more we learn in the dunya, and this grants us to excel. This will be a few part lecture series inshaAllah, because I want to make a special mention to 3 groups of people. There are those, and we begin with as-sabiqun al-awwalun, the top and the achievers, those who did well, alhamdulillah, and those who are succeeding, and those who are, you know, they're very happy with their results. We give a message to you today. And then there are those who didn't do so well, and they need a specific message. And the more important for the rest of us who have stopped learning, the last time you read a book is possibly in matric, right? If I ask you when last you opened a book from Shakespeare, you know. And even in matric you might not have opened it, subhanAllah, right? The last time you read a book was in high school. So for us, we need to have a very special message about starting our path of knowledge. But today we celebrate those who achieve success. And alhamdulillah, if Allah honors, look how He honors. We know sujood is for no one besides Allah. If you make sujood to anyone or anything besides Allah, it is the highest form of shirk. Yet Allah says to Jibreel, make sujood to Adam, because he had some knowledge. And therefore, we should always honor someone of knowledge. Someone who has achieved some form of knowledge, whether it is they passed their matric exam, they passed into high school, they, alhamdulillah, just tamatted Quran, how amazing that is. A person just qualified in something, he's learnt a skill. When you have attained knowledge, Allah honors you, and so we honor you. And we say Mubarak, and what a great blessing Allah has honored you. Allah says to those who have knowledge and those who have succeeded, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah says, I give knowledge and wisdom to whomever I will. And whoever I have given wisdom has certainly been given a lot of good. Allah says, if I gave you wisdom, because it's not to everyone, not everyone gets that honor. Like not everyone becomes wealthy. Not everyone is physically strong. Not everyone gets every blessing. Allah chooses who gets what. But He has given you knowledge. Then Allah says, this is really a blessing I gave you that is praiseworthy. Allah doesn't say in the Quran, if I've given you money and I made you the king, then this is great. No. Allah says, if I gave you iman, that's the first, best. And if I gave you knowledge, that's the second best. The best thing you can have. Those who have achieved, and I speak to those who are starting university, those who are now going back to school, you have an opportunity when you learn to change the world. Knowledge is the one thing that transforms a person and society. I believe it was President Nelson Mandela who said that our country has a lot of problems, poverty, crime, inequality. Rather, Bill Gates who said that. And he said, wars, all the problems in the world. But if there's one silver bullet that can end all of that, it lies in education. Education really is the medicine for all our problems. It cures diseases. It fixes the environment. It can stop wars. Knowledge, if used correctly, and we aspire for it, we can really make this world a better place. So for those who are going, specifically those who are going to university, those who are at university, you have been given a great blessing and a great opportunity. And those who have come out of university, subhanAllah, you have a great blessing and opportunity. Allah has made you of the elite in terms of the ability to learn. And not to mention, if you didn't get there, there's anything wrong. In fact, of the most brilliant people, we'll get to know that you didn't start off high on top. The journey was a bit different. But you have the opportunity to change the world. And with that, we know, is an amana. With every blessing is a test. With your money is a test. With your health is a test. You're going to be asked about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask the one, more severely, the one who has a high ability to learn, the one who has the opportunity to learn. Subhanallah, our grandparents were wonderful people, brilliant people, but they could not go to school because of their environment. They could not even finish high school, primary school. What could they have become? How many kids in Africa, in villages, the Einsteins of the world of Africa, are sitting there not able to learn? The opportunity was not given to them. So they will not be asked about that. But for you who is in school, who has the opportunity to learn, who can click online and learn almost free of charge, what excuse do we have? And Allah says, the Prophet says, of the things on that exam on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask you and me, what did you do with your knowledge that I gave you? How did you acquire it? How did you utilize it? What good did you do with it? How did you change the world for the better? You cannot be judged the same like the one who never went to school and never got the opportunity. Those of us who have come through 12 years of schooling, another 4 or 5 years of tertiary education, you cannot be judged like our grandmothers who never got the opportunity to learn. If our achievement is the same like her, then subhanAllah, shame on us. Similarly, the billionaire will be asked more severely about his money than the one who did not earn a lot. So this is an important thing to know, that this is a gift from Allah, but with it comes a great responsibility. This is some interesting thing to know. Statistically, of those who start grade 1, so the grade 1s, maybe 1 million, 2 million, I don't know how many kids start grade 1, only 10% of those will actually go to university. And usually only a half of those who enter university in our country pass university. So only about 5% of our population has a tertiary education. And if you are in that, you have achieved that, then you really won the lotto with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has given you a lot, subhanAllah. When this ayah, when He says, I have given wisdom, if I gave it to you, I gave you a lot, then that means Allah has given. How often have we made dua? Ya Allah, thank you for sending me to school. Right? Does anyone make dua for that? Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, it's Monday. Not alhamdulillah, it's Friday. It's Monday, school again. That's a great blessing. And the ulama of the past, you know, they had to walk. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he walks from Iraq to Yemen just to learn from one sheikh. A really pursuit of knowledge. Looking for it hard. Only when it's taken from you do you realize how important it is. So subhanAllah, every time you open a book, it's an opportunity. You don't know what you find inside it. For example, the Prophet says, every disease there's a cure. Now there's so many diseases we have not cured. The answer is out there waiting to be discovered. Every problem has a solution. It just requires someone of determination, someone with a little brains, and a lot of help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can really contribute to changing the world. What will your contribution be? We say this many times, and this is for those who are actually starting their journey. What will be the things that our generation fixes? Our parents had their battle, they defeated apartheid, alhamdulillah. That's a great honor to them, our parents, grandparents. They built their masajid, alhamdulillah. Our generation is the generation of opportunity. The generation that has all the chances. What have we really done with this opportunity? 20 odd years now, what have we done with that opportunity? This is the challenge that we have. And this is the thing that we will be graded upon. And our time is not long before retirement is going to come, and then it passes on to the next generation. So how do you become an achiever? If you're not there and you want to know, how do I achieve great things? How do I achieve great things? Let me tell you some stories of achievers. Some people that achieved. And not talking about Imam Bukhari and the great scholars of the past. These stories are amazing. Just of this time, Sheikh Naina, one of the great qaris of the world today. Right? We all know him, Sheikh Naina. Perhaps the most prolific qari alive today. How did he start? Middle-aged man, he studied medicine, qualified as a doctor, never really studied Islamic studies. And then he thought to himself, subhanAllah, I'm a doctor, but I haven't memorized anything of the Quran. So he went to the sheikh in his area, and he said, Sheikh, I like to memorize Quran, can you assist? But I'm a doctor. So the sheikh said to him, I demand from you every day, just learn two lines. He said, Sheikh, I can do more. He said, no. I only want you to learn two lines every single day. Two lines, not more, not less. And so, Dr. Ahmad started learning, and slowly he became Hafidh. After a number of months and years, he became Hafidh al-Quran. And when he became Hafidh, he realized Allah had put in him the ability to be a qari. Not only a qari, of the best in the world. And perhaps the most famous qari in the world today is Dr. Ahmad Naina. He continued practicing, he specialized. Allah then made him a pediatrician. He's a practicing doctor, pediatrician. And then he goes and he recites. Usually we think to achieve that success, you have to start from 5 years old. And once you've passed the boat, khalas, I can't become hafiz now. No, he only discovered afterwards. Of the greatest scholars, if you look after the Sahaba, perhaps the greatest scholar that we had of this Ummah, between Imam Bukhari and Imam Abu Hanifa. I know we all Shafi'iyah, subhanAllah. But Abu Hanifa, subhanAllah, when Imam Shafi'i says that compared to Abu Hanifa, we are like small children, like compared to him. He's the daddy, he's the man. He only started learning in his 20s. Never opened a book of Sharia, fiqh. Only on his way to the market, a sheikh met him and said, you look like a smart guy. You shouldn't be in the markets. Go to the masjid and go sit in a class. And something good will happen. And he changed the world, subhanAllah. You don't know what Allah has put inside you. Until you learn and start, subhanAllah, you don't know. Something more recent. One of the great sheikhs of the Haram. Now in Medina, in Mecca as well, if those have made Umrah, you know there's chairs. In the Haram, those are the big shots, the big alims, the big guys. In fact, the word, the chair, he's the chairman, comes from the word kursi. We had this in our custom that everyone sits down and the sheikh sits on the chair. That's where it comes, the chairman, the kursi. It's our tradition of learning. So in the Haram, if you get a chair in the Haram, this is like Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, only the top people get to sit in the Haram. Of the greatest scholars in the 90s, who sat almost in the Rauda in Medina, a sheikh by the name Sheikh Atiyah. How did he start? He was brought from Egypt, not as a scholar, as a radio technician from Egypt. When the Haram got its first microphone system in Saudi, Saudis didn't know how to work microphones, advanced technology, 1950s. So they had to bring an engineer from Egypt. And his job was to put the radio on, like Ubaid sits there, he does the projector. And because he has to sit day in, day out, listening to the lectures, he began to learn. And then he said, it's such amazing thing, I want to learn full time. After a few years, when the then great Sheikh Shenkiti passed away, he was the most qualified man to take his place, subhanAllah. In his 30s, 40s, maybe starting to learn as a radio technician, just listening to the durus. You don't know what Allah has placed inside you until you open that book and see, until you experience. So how do I achieve something great? How do I achieve something great and leave a legacy that is great? It always begins with a sincere niyyah. Niyyah, two sides of it. Number one, Do it for the sake of Allah. If you start your studies now in high school, primary school, university, I'm doing this, why? If it's purely to get a lot of money, then you might get that and that's it. Nothing great. Nothing bad, but nothing great. But if you want to change the world, you know, the top matriculant in South Africa, she didn't go and study, you know, all the prestigious things to be a doctor or accountant or actuary. The bucks usually lie, although accountants not as much as we thought. Not as much as we thought. Engineers apparently get a lot more. But those are the ones we look at prestige in terms of money. Instead, she wants to study something in science. Why? To change the world. Knowledge, not for the sake of self-gain, but to really do something better for humanity. And that is the thing we should teach our kids. That you learn to solve a problem and to make the world a better place. And number two, when you make it sincere for Allah, when you make it sincere for Allah, that's when the success comes. There were many, many scholars who wrote books. Many madhahib, but they disappeared. Only four really remained. They weren't even the best sometimes. And they ask, why did Ibn Kathir's tafsir become the most famous one? Why is it this book of fiqh that became famous? There were others that were better, more detailed. And Allah alam, but they say that as much as hard work you put in, if the niyyah, the one with the most sincere niyyah, Allah accepts it even more. If your niyyah is sincere, Allah will give you success in the dunya and your works will become accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your deeds will be accepted. Your studies will be accepted. With niyyah, niyyah is not just nawaitu usalli, that's not a niyyah. Niyyah is your intent, your objective and purpose. We have, as an ummah, we have set our objectives very low. That's one of the sad realities. You ask any high school student, what do you want to be? Either I don't know, or I want to become a soccer player. Now, if you want to become a soccer player and earn billions of euros, great, fantastic. But look, if one gets it to be in the Premier League, very lucky. But there's no way a class of 20, 15 is going to make it to a certain team. The objectives are low. Look how high the Prophet was once. He says, if you make that, there are so many levels in Jannah. Between one level and the next is the size of the universe. Between level 1 to level 2, it's a whole universe of distance. And the highest level is Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus. So when you ask, Nabi Sallallahu says to you and me, when you make dua for Jannah, make dua for Firdaus. Now Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus, is for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is for Nabi Isa, Jesus, it's for Nabi Ibrahim. It is for the greats of the greats. But he says, even you, ordinary people, can achieve that level if you make dua and you're sincere. There will be normal people even in Firdaus if you want it and you work for it. So make that niyyah high. And you know, I have this debate, the difference between complacency and mediocrity and contentment. Now we are an ummah that tells you, be satisfied with what you have. And yes, contentment is satisfied with what Allah has given you after you have strived hard, after you worked hard, after you put the effort in, you sowed the field, and now the rain comes and only half the harvest comes, alhamdulillah, I'm contented. But it is mediocre that before you put the effort in, you say, Allah provides. That whatever is written for me, I sit back. That is laziness. When it becomes contentment with yourself, that's a problem. You should never ever be contented with your efforts. But rather, you should be contented with what Allah gives you after your efforts. And therefore, after having a high niyyah, you must have a high degree of self-confidence. The Sahaba were the most humble of people, but they had a high level of confidence in themselves. When the Prophet ﷺ raised the flag and he said, who wants to be the leader? They put up their hand and said, me, I want to be that leader. Not to be the chairman and the king and the imam. No, I want to be the one that's first in line. Look at what Allah says. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. He says, I have certainly honored the children of Adam. And I carried them on land and sea. And I provided them of good things. And I preferred them over much of what I have created, of what He has created. Above all of creation, I have made you special. No one is on earth by chance and by luck. You could have been made a grain of sand. You could have been made a drop of water. But only the special elite of the factory of creation, the best that comes out is an insan, a person, a human being. So if you are here, why am I here? What did Allah put me here for? Besides worshipping Him, He put me here as His Khalifa, on this earth to represent Him, to do something special. And that is everyone's everyone's challenge. Find what Allah has put inside of you. Have a high level of confidence. I can do it. I can become Hafiz al-Quran. Ameen. I can become a doctor. I can cure this disease. I can fix this. I can build that masjid. Believe it. And even if you don't achieve it, and you're insincere, Allah will give you the reward for that. But with that, not wishful thinking, effort must come with that. So number three, you want success, we said, number one, the niyyah must be sincere. Number two, you must be sure in your abilities and be confident. Number three, you must have some kind of effort. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah prescribed excellence in everything. Whatever you do, O believers, part of your deen, whatever you do, be the best at it. If you are fixing a roof, be the best roof fixer in the world. If you are sitting in class, you want to be the number one student in the world. If you're an accountant, I'm going to be the best in the world. Not even in the company. That is the objective we set for ourselves. Excellence in everything. Excellence is not something that you inherit. It's a habit. Aristotle says, excellence is a habit. The more you do it, the more you achieve it. Be excellent in whatever you do. Whether you're starting primary school, or whether you are doing your PhD, or whether you are the CEO, excellence in everything that you do. That is what is required of us. Another example of this, Rabi'ah, radiallahu anhu, Rabi'ah. Many of us, in fact myself, we don't know a story of the Sahabi. A very obscure, unknown Sahabi. Sahabi Rabi'ah. We don't know much about him. All we know about him, he was a man. He said to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, allow me to make khidmat of you. I want to be your servant for a bit. And so let me fetch your wudu, water. Let me, you know, bring your clothes, your shoes. I just want to serve you. And after he served the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for some time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt so, you know, I want to give something back to you. So he says, Rabi'ah, ask me anything that you want, I can give it to you. And so Rabi'ah said, Ya Rasulullah, and look what he asks. He doesn't ask for something small. He asks for the greatest thing you could want. He says, let me be with you in Jannah, next to you in Jannah. Meaning, I want to be on top there. Now, he's not Abu Bakr. His deeds are not equal, you would say, to the Abu Bakr's and Umar's. We don't even know what he did. But he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be up there with you in Jannah, highest level. So the Prophet said, anything else? You want more than that? And so the Rabi'ah said, no, that's enough. And so the Prophet says, okay. Meaning we can get there. But help me to get you there by making a lot of sujood. Meaning you can get there. I can make dua for you, but I can't snap my fingers and put you there. You need to put some effort in. Make a lot of sujood and inshallah you'll get there. You can get there. With effort you'll get there. And so that's why the Prophet says to us, take up good deeds, do good things, whether it is ibadah related, work related, you know, do good. As much as you're able to do. Don't exert yourself beyond whether you're going to gym. SubhanAllah, I know a lot of resolutions about how many kilos we're going to lose, right? Ameen, ameen, ya Allah, ameen. Right? Right? We begin, don't exert yourself. Start with something small and manageable. But the best deeds, and the deeds that will be accepted, and those that carry the most weight, excuse the pun, are those deeds that are done regularly, even if they are few. It is the consistent hard worker, even if it's small, he will succeed. And this is a rule your Prophet ﷺ is teaching you. Success in anything requires a little bit of consistent work daily. And you will achieve it. You will climb mountains like that. That which was unattainable will be attained, but one step at a time, and never ever stopping. Number four, good advice, keep the company of people you want to be like. And not only, this is from our Sharia, this is from any psychologist. When you stand around people that are fit, then you also want to become fit. When you're around people that are doctors, then you also want to be like that. The Prophet says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look to those who are financially less than you. So you don't envy the rich. Because if you're constantly around people that are very wealthy, you'll also want that lifestyle. Rather spend time with those that are less, and then you'll feel very fortunate. But when it comes to good deeds, spend time with the one who does more. The one who's doing more salah. The one who's studying. So our kids in school, don't look for the guy who's doing the least in class. Sit next to the teacher's pet, subhanAllah. You don't have to be teacher's pet. Just be the friend of teacher's pet. And then you will also like that, learn. Be in the company of those who work hard, and you'll automatically want to achieve that. So keep good company. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas was 13 years old when the Prophet ﷺ died. So he was a small boy or young boy when the Prophet ﷺ died. He had a friend. We don't even know the friend's name. Also Sahabi. And so Ibn Abbas said, now that the Nabi has died, ﷺ, come let us learn together so we can teach. And his friend said to him, why do you want to learn? There's Umar, there's Abu Bakr. No one's going to come to you. And so Ibn Abbas said, I left him. I stopped sort of being his friend. And so I went to go learn alone. And of course, when Abu Bakr died and Umar died, and Islam spread to Iraq, Iran, Syria, and people needed to learn, Ibn Abbas became the number one scholar of the junior Sahaba. Now he was the one people looked up to. So look at the company you keep. Be around smart people, and automatically that's an easy way of becoming informed. And then lastly, of course, dua is your special weapon. Whatever you are, whatever you want to achieve, remember, it is only what Allah gives. He gives whom He wants and He takes from whom He wants. Desire success, work hard and make dua. And dua is the thing that will achieve that, that will give you that. So we make dua for ourselves, Ya Allah, put barakah in everything that we do. Excellence in everything that we do. Our health, our family, our rizq, our knowledge, Ya Allah, make it excellent. Let us be a generation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are pleased with. You know, and one thing, a sheikh was telling us this hadith. And Nabi says, during every century, Allah sends a special person, a mujaddid, a reviver, a reformer, one who will bring good to the world. And so when he said that to the class, he asked the class, what's the next question you want to ask me? What's the question you want to ask me? Who's the reviver of this? And so he said, that's a bad question. Why don't you ask Allah, let me be that person? Why do you feel you're not worthy of that? So hope for the best, subhanAllah, and make dua for that. Salahuddin, when he was a small boy, he heard, that's when the Crusaders conquered Palestine. And the Imam said, one day we will reclaim Palestine again. Salahuddin said, can I be that man? And the Prophet said, the Sheikh said, inshaAllah, you'll be him. And he was, subhanAllah. So make dua, have high aspirations, work hard, have a sincere niyyah, and then make dua, and everything is achievable. Ameen. Next week we'll talk about those who didn't do well, who failed maybe. Failing, there's a message for you, inshaAllah, and that is next week, inshaAllah. Then just a reminder, the Bukab Cradle to the Grave Expo is open once again. For those who don't know, we have an exhibit about Cape Muslim heritage here, the Muslims here in Cape Town, our customs, our tradition. Please go and visit. All the proceeds is for the benefit of our soup kitchen, our nursery school. There's also a coffee shop next door, Umi's Kitchen. So if you want some lunch, you can do that as well. And then inshallah, 6 o'clock on Tuesday, classes start again. So if this lecture worked for you, I'll see all of you in class, free of charge, alhamdulillah. And we'll also do our back to basics, the basics of Islam. If you want to learn about what is Islam all about, what do we believe, what do we do, this is the lecture for you, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.